You were saying that it was quite exciting for you to be, and you're a much awarded filmmaker, really, to be up in the Gold Coast at the Asia Pacific Screen Awards with Blue Black up for the Youth Award for film. Tell me about your what's going on there.
Look, I think the Asia Pacific Screen Awards are wonderful. I've been nominated a few times for other films I've been involved with over the years, and I think that they're such an amazing celebration of cinema from this region and have championed so many incredible films. I feel really delighted every time I get invited and nominated, but it's actually the first time that in my crazy career I've been able to get here. So I'm delighted to be here. I met with a whole panel of young emerging filmmakers yesterday, which was incredible to see the future generation coming through. And I think it's just such an important celebration of cinema, and kind of delighted to be part of it, actually.
It's really interesting, isn't it? Because, you know, Gold Coast, it's sort of a different perspective on filmmaking in Australia, really, to realise that we're part of the Asia Pacific region, which
Yes.
encompasses 78 countries. It's quite,
I know.
it's amazing. And it's third of the earth and half of the world's films.
I know. It's quite a stunning kind of celebration of cinema from those different creative and cultural voices. And it's the perfect place to be here, you know, with and so many filmmakers actually come here. But it's you're absolutely right. I didn't know those figures exactly, but that makes sense to me. And it's very powerful, you know, cultural voice in terms of all the diverse parts of this region. And no, I think the Gold Coast should be really delighted to have these awards that have been going on for so many years here.
Yeah, that's right. And it connects those awards. They make it clear that one of their jobs is to actually connect this region to other peak film organizations in Europe and in other parts of the world, which is a conduit for filmmakers.
That's right. One of the big discussions that was had yesterday amongst a lot of the emerging kind of producers and directors was how can we all work together? And it's something that European cinema has been very good at for, gosh, 50 years, 60 years, which is how to create co-productions between different countries, and something that Australia really can work on, and that the Asia Pacific Screen Awards helps with by bringing people here. And of course, what happens then is you have these incredible stories which are cross-cultural, which, as we know, Australia is such a rich and diverse culture of many, many people that have come here. And so our stories are many and varied. And I think these kind of relationships allow our cinema to become richer with the collaborations that happen between different countries. So you're absolutely right. It's such a strong part of what happens here is that you get people coming together who can then work together. And I think that our industry would only be richer for that.
Blue Back is a very interesting film because it's actually quite local to Western Australia. It's based on a Tim Winton novel, and there's so many elements to it which is so seductive because it's about the sea, the culture along the sea, and it's also about intergenerational connections to land, bringing in First Nations as well as a particular a family of women. It's quite a fascinating film, in fact.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I'm really delighted by the life the film is having, and of course, being nominated is a real, you know, a special thing for all of us who made that film, particularly in the youth film section here, which is really unique part of these awards that they celebrate films for young people, and of course, the environmental questions that the film asks and explores are so fundamental, I guess, to the big questions for all of us right now about our oceans and how important it is that they remain healthy and, the impact of climate change and, depletion of fishing stocks. And there, a lot of these themes that Tim Winton deals with in his other work as well is, really important questions that the film poses. So, yeah, no, we're delighted that that we're here to celebrate that film amongst some pretty awesome other films.
Well, that's the thing. That's what it leads us to. I mean, you've got great actors in your film, really well-known people like Mia.
Yeah, she's great. Wojciechowska. Yeah, she's incredible.
And Radna Mitchell and Eric Banner.
Yes.
And, of course, the big fish, the groper.
Yes, our puppet.
Yeah.
Which is actually being celebrated at the moment down at the Australian Maritime Museum in Sydney. If anyone's ever passing through Sydney, they should pop in. They've actually got the puppet on display and all of this information about how the puppet was used. And because I didn't do it with VFX. I created this incredible blue groper with a puppet. And so, yeah, I love that it's now being exhibited. I think the exhibition will probably tour around Australia too, which is great.
I have to say that exhibition space in Sydney is spectacular. It's also very innovative, like clever. The very fact that they think that that was worthwhile as an exhibition piece and that they were astute enough to get it is great, isn't it?
Oh, it's fantastic. It's fantastic. And the, amazing team there at the Australian Maritime Museum who have been doing great work in lots of areas of, of more broader than you would just assume for a maritime museum. I think people go there because they like seeing the boats and, you kind of learn about the physical way that we navigate and how Indigenous people navigate it too. It's a great exhibition on that. But they're also doing a lot of work in the marine biology space too, which is really important.
Yeah, they're very clever. Recommended, yep. Highly recommended. But getting back to the films, one of the things about this particular awards, the APSA awards, is that I always discover, I always think that I see quite a few films because, I do reviews, I do a whole range of things. But I always think, I'm always blown away by the amazing amount of films that are up for awards, which will be amazing films. And like you're up against a film from Kazakhstan and some films, and this points to what you were saying before, which is that they make collaborations with other countries to make films. So A House in Jerusalem, it's credited with Palestine, United Kingdom, Qatar, Netherlands and German money, right? And then Monster.
It's amazing.
Yeah, Monster's got Kabutsu and Japan. I don't even know where Kabutsu is. And Tiger Stripes, Malaysia, Taiwan, Singapore, France, Germany, Netherlands, Indonesia, Qatar.
I love it. I actually love it. I think in creative endeavours, collaborating with people from other parts of the world with different points of view just makes our work richer, and it speaks of stories that are very often culturally specific to places but universal in the deep themes. I think we kind of know at this moment in history that these deep humanist themes about how we can live and that we all share. So, and I like hyper specific cultural cinema, but that also speaks of universal things. A common humanity that we share as we navigate our time. And I think that this festival just celebrates that. I mean, those films are all highly lauded, highly exceptional works of cinema made by great filmmaking teams. And I love that they've got so many partners. I think Australian cinema can really learn from it. I think we don't do it as well. There's an amazing team actually working at Screen Australia that run the co-production unit, and they're really exceptional champions of this. So I think for up-and-coming filmmakers, it's worth looking into how to work with other countries.
Yeah, it's amazing. And also, like you said, I love that concept that you just said it so well, which is the hyper-local with universal themes. I agree with you. It's just so fascinating to find out about someone else's place.
Oh, It's amazing, isn't it? I mean, I often wonder, I mean, people have assumed because of the Hollywood system, which does very well these universal films that just appeal to everyone. But a lot of that is about removing the points of difference to make it easier for everyone to, it's like a Big Mac. You can go anywhere in the world and eat a Big Mac and it's going to taste the same pretty much. And I think the assumption with a lot of Hollywood cinema is that it's universal in a similar way. Whereas I think there's universality in culturally specific work. So I love that cinema takes you, like Blueback takes you to Bremer Bay, which is in the south, you know, south east of WA. You know, it's a very, very remote place. Yeah, and you just go to the, so that people can watch the film and be taken to somewhere they've, Ningaloo Reef we filmed on as well. And when I was at the Toronto Film Festival, I heard two people come out of the screening saying, we've got to find out how to go there. so I think cinema also has a power to attract people to experience parts of the world they've never been, which I think is what I always love.
What you're talking about is ties to the reason for why there are so many Hollywood movies with violence in them, because it was shown that violence is a... internationally, socially acceptable trope, while sex and intimate relationships aren't.
That's interesting. That's, yeah, it's really interesting. The, the kind of...
It's horrifying, the way, actually.
I mean, I know, yeah, it is, it's terrifying. You know, it's really, it's kind of upsetting in some ways. It's like trying to find a commonality about something. There's always been the double standard of how violence and intimacy are depicted. And that's, I always find it just fascinating that we're willing to accept brutal and horrific acts of violence, but showing kind of intimate moments between people get censored. It's like the contradiction of that. It's okay to shoot someone in the head, but if you show them making love, there's a problem. But anyway, it is the contradiction. But I think cinema is powerful. We know that. And it will always be powerful. I know people talk a lot about the streaming and watching things at home, but I think going to the cinema, watching a work in a dark room with a collection of other people, having an opportunity to talk about it after you come out of the cinema, and, you know, think about it, it's just such a creatively powerful art form. And I love the figures you gave about how many different countries are represented here at these awards.
It's mind blowing.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah. I reckon it is too. And I know that this is a side issue, but it does actually reflect something about filmmaking in general. And I'd like your opinion. You know the writer's strike that they had in America, which has been concluded. But one of the sticking points right to the end was this idea that the major studios wanted to be able to use AI in the first draft treatments of scripts.
Such a strange and puzzling thing for the studios to want to do, because I think if you think of the history of even the most commercial films that were made, people love, you know, seeing a Steven Spielberg film, you know, like a Martin Scorsese film. You know, people love, and, you know, from this part of the world, people love, you know, Jane Campion's next film. You know, it's people, like, we like authored work. We like to feel, we don't go into an art gallery to look at paintings on the wall that have been created by a computer. We like to look at the works of art and ponder the person who has created the work, and in the case of film, the creative team. So I'm not scared of AI myself. I feel like there are tools, technological tools, that are available and have always become available. You know, it was I remember the old joke they used to say when word processors came in, they said, yes, but I can tell that novel was typed rather than written. You know, it's kind of like, well... So I think technology has always been seen to be, you know, a troubling thing. I'm not anti-technology and I'm not anti-AI. I'm curious and I'm fascinated. But when it comes to creative works, I feel like the authorship of them is so critical and appealing and interesting. Do I want to see a film created by AI set in some interesting part of the world that I haven't been? No, I want to feel the work of people that went there, that fell in love with the place, that explored it and that showed it to us, and depicted it in a culturally a specific way. So I don't know.
Well,
yet to
actually,
be seen.
It goes back to that investigation about film, you know, that famous investigation of film right at the beginning by the German philosopher, where he talks about film being the most contrived art form that is represented as being naturalistic. You know what,
Yeah, that's
Walter,
interesting.
yeah, Walter, anyway, I can't remember, but anyway, he does this whole investigation into the purpose of art and how it relates to religious iconography and all the rest of it. It's all about us,
Fascinating.
yeah, about humans, you know, and what being human. And it strikes me as being the most bizarre concept that you should divorce yourself from one of the things that humans are great at, which is culture.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, I think that, you know, that amazing TV series, Peter Jackson's amazing TV series, going back and looking at the Beatles composing all the great songs, and it's really interesting to be inside the room seeing some of these great songs be created by this genius group. And we love that. We love
Yeah.
that. We're not going back and seeing a machine that's creating that song, just coming up with it because it's got a poppy riff and that it's studied all the, you know, and we're seeing human beings talk about works of great composition. I don't know. I think that, you know, all of us that have children remember when their child brings home the first painting from kindy and you put it on the fridge.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be a common experience for Australians. Why is that? Because we look at our little child and we look at the work that they have created at school or kindy or priest, whatever, and we value it. You know, and I think there's probably a lot of people that listen to your show who would probably still have some of their kids' paintings tucked away, even if their kids are now in their 30s. And why is it? It's because we value it. You know, I remember there was a really funny thing. They got an elephant to paint. You might remember. They did these paintings, and it was such a – but no one cared about these paintings. It was more like, oh, yeah, it can splash paint. And then was the whole thing, is this elephant creative? Is this elephant or this animal? I guess that's even more – at least appealing, because it's a living creature creating something as opposed to a computer.
Yeah.
But I fear the use of AI less in the kind of work I do. I feel like if you're in the superhero world or making big superhero films or whatever, and I could imagine the studios could do a spin-off of a superhero character with 50 episodes, and that a computer could probably generate the storylines for them and the plot, and then AI could probably do the VFX for them, and maybe at some point they might not even need actors. You
yeah,
know,
no, that's right.
and,
That's right.
and
I
I
think
and
that's
I
what
can
they're
see the
thinking.
anxiety about that.
Yeah, I think that's what they're talking about. I mean, the person I was talking about was Walter Benjamin, and what he was, his famous work, The Work of Art in the Age of Mechanical Reproduction, which is,
Okay,
and it was
interesting.
written
I'll
in
look it up.
1935, right? So this
There you go.
this is a
There you
man
go.
who really did think. But he also has a very sad history, because being Jewish, he actually committed suicide so that the Nazis wouldn't get him first. So it's a
Oh,
terrible, terrible
dear,
story. Here is a
dear,
person who's
dear,
one of the
dear.
most important brains of the 20th century. So it just tells you how
Oh,
terrible
dear.
things can be. But anyway,
Yeah, and what a loss.
yeah, what a
Very
loss.
sad loss. You know, those kind of, I always think that, you know, some of the great thinkers that are years ahead of us all, really, that, you know, it's like, what else might he have challenged or contemplated? And so I've always loved science fiction, actually, the great science fiction authors who kind of speculate about us and look to the future.
Yeah.
But I'm an optimist, ultimately, about technology. So I feel optimistic that we will battle it out a bit now, but find a way to use technology to help us.
Well, really, we did go off the track, but and it's November the 3rd in the morning, and tonight is the night that you're going to get or not get the award for your best film, but for the best film for in the youth section of the APSA. But I mean, you've got lots of great challenges, other films that are being put forward as
Coming,
well.
yeah. I'm never really too worried with winning or not winning awards. I think being part of a group of filmmakers as strong as this and is just delightful. And I think it's really these awards are about get people getting together and more celebrating each other's work than feeling competitive around with each other. But no, it's amazing. Very, very happy to be here and great to chat to you. Thank you so much.